You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and how about this? A surprise special edition of People of Note this afternoon to mark the official opening of Cats here at Artscape, which begins at 4 o'clock. It opened on Wednesday, but today is the official, I think we can call it the VIP opening, the press opening. And I'll be talking to various people and playing music from Cats. There will still be the usual People of Note at 6 o'clock this evening with Wendy Ackman. But it's a great pleasure now to welcome the man of the moment, and that's Peter Tureen himself. It's a Peter Tureen production, and apparently Little Birdie tells me, Peter, that this is your favorite musical. Cats, of all the musicals you've worked on, is your favorite. Is this true?
It's just, Rodney, because it was the first one. It was the first big musical we did as a production company.
Oh, was it?
Yep, and there was that great period of nothing when we weren't allowed musicals, we weren't allowed actors from abroad, and then in 2001, we were permitted by Andrew Lloyd Webber to do the show here. Nobody knew if audiences would come back. Nobody knew if people would want musicals. And now when I tell you it's such a favorite of ours, it's because they flocked. So straight away, we knew South Africans love musicals.
Yep, yep.
And it was the beginning. It was the beginning of an awful lot of things. Because in the cast was Paul Warwick Griffin and his partner Gareth, who now are co-producing Cats with me here. And also Anton and Dwayne from Lambda,
that's right,
were in the first Cats. So it kicked off a great many things. It's such a special show. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a dancer show. And it made South African actors wake up. Because until that moment, we had actors, singers, dancers, not what we call the triple threat, actors who can sing and dance. Today, if you want a successful career in the business, you damn well better do all three, otherwise you won't be working.
Exactly. And apparently this cast, it's the first, most of them, it's the first time doing Cats. They are young, they are virile, they are energetic.
Yes.
And in fact, someone who went to see the show on Friday said how astonished she was. And she said, I should ask you, ask Peter Tureen, because Shania is going to interview, do you find that modern dancers are even more slick and healthy and fit and virile and energetic than they were back in the day?
Absolutely. You know, when we did the first Cats, it was a struggle to find dancers who could actually sing anything other than Happy Birthday. No, but they really couldn't, Rodney.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's every dancer's ambition to be in Cats. It's one of those pieces. It's one of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dancer's show. And if you're any good as a dancer, you want that on your CV. And that's how it's been through all these years.
It's interesting you say that, because of course it's a dancer's show, because if you think of Andrew Lloyd Webber's other musical like Phantom or Jesus Christ Superstar Evita, they're not really dancing shows.
Quite.
They're musicals first
Quite.
And foremost.
Quite.
Whereas this is a massive emphasis on dance, isn't it?
Absolutely. And remember, it's T.S. Eliot's poems that Andrew was so excited by.
Yeah.
And he composed the music. And I was privileged back in 1980, the show opened in 1981, to be around a lot of the rehearsals in London. In those days, I went to London a lot, and I saw this wonderful piece being created. Gilly Lynn is the famous choreographer, and her choreography for Cats will go down in history.
Yes.
And the show will never stop, Rodney. I mean, we're doing a production now. There's a company in North America touring. There's a company touring Europe. Cats will never end because audiences adore it. It's as simple as that.
But you take this one now to Johannesburg, don't you, and it's finished its Cape Town run in mid-January. And then is it, this production, will that be touring to Asia and elsewhere?
Yes. It goes on an 18-month tour taken by Paul Warwick Griffin and his partner Gareth Williams.
Right.
They are the management. They were in the show. They're now management, and a very important management. They're also doing Matilda. They've also just done Sunset Boulevard, and you'll see they're touring Phantom in Asia, far, right across, I think it's in going to China now.
Wow.
They're going to amazing places. You know, I have to rush for the Atlas every so often to see what the hell they're talking about.
Yes. You know, one of the things I want to ask you, Peter, while I've got you here, trapped in our studio, is when you put on a musical like this, how long ahead of its opening do you decide what you're going to put on? I mean, when did you decide, let's do Cats at the end of 2025?
Yes, at least a year. At least a year ahead, mm-hmm. Rodney. Sometimes more. And it's gotten easier over the years because when we weren't allowed to do them, one was always nagging. Please, can we do it? Please, can we do it sometime? I think that Lion King took 3 years to, from the moment of saying we're going to do it till the opening night.
Goodness.
Because they're very expensive beasts, these shows.
Yes, I'm sure they are. Because they are huge. And that's the thing people come to see them for. They know that your Christmas show is going to blow them away. They're huge. The scenery, the sets, the lighting.
Yes.
It's all on a vast scale, isn't it?
Unfortunately, but...
Don't say unfortunately.
But, you know, the first Cats in 2001, mm-hmm. I remember the budget for pre-production was $7 million. The pre-production now for this one in 2025 is $20
million. Good grief. That's a huge increase.
Yeah, absolutely. Over the years, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And when I say pre-production, I mean the expense from the moment of deciding till the opening night, like this, that's our pre-production. After that, you have to pay the weekly costs. So you're on tenterhooks till the last couple of weeks to know if the damn thing is going to make a profit or not. But you see, we love what we do.
I'm sure. That shows, Peter.
Yes, yes.
Do you feel nervous today? It's opening in an hour, just under an hour.
Yes, terrified.
Do you really?
I really
are. You going to watch it today?
Yes, I'll go in and out. I promise you.
But now... One of the things that I remember just talking about, I mean, you've had such a long career in this business, and I know lots of actors and directors are very grateful to you because you've kept them working, either at the Theatre on the Bay and elsewhere, or here in the big musicals. But you started apparently when you were very young, 17 is very young.
Yes.
And one of your first big coup d'etats was getting Marlene Dietrich out here. That must have been an extraordinary experience for you.
Well, it was. I mean, getting her to come was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then touring with her twice was the learning experience of my life, because nobody's more professional was than Marlena.
Mm-hmm.
And she permitted me into her inner circle.
Gosh.
And, you know, yeah, it was a rare, rare privilege. We got on. Don't ask me how. To this day, I can't explain it. But, you know, she taught me virtually everything. Now I'm never satisfied for anything less than perfection, because that was Marlena. She was perfect in every way. She was two people. She was Marlena Dietrich, the star, and then she was Marlena, the person. And I was privileged to know both.
Wow. What a treat for you.
It was.
And when you were so young.
Yes. And the fact that she said she'd come, you know.
Yeah.
And she did. And then we did a second tour. And then I would see her over the years in other theaters. And I would visit her. And I visited her in Paris and all that kind of thing. Till eventually she retired completely. Shut the door and wouldn't let people see her. It was that.
And did she let you see her?
No. There was a point at which I realized when I answered the phone one day and she said it was the maid speaking. It wasn't the maid speaking. It was Marlena speaking. I knew her voice by then. And she shut herself away. She just didn't want any of us to see her again, which is quite sad.
It is sad, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but she'd had a wonderful time.
What a star, and what she gave to the world, let's face it.
Yeah.
Just quickly, Peter, because I know you want to go, talking back to Cats, the vast team we mentioned earlier that you're on, apart from the producers and the sound people, and it is a vast team, isn't it?
It's huge.
Is it a team that makes the decision, or do you make the decision? Do you say, right, team, we're doing Cats next year?
No, I make the decision as to what we're doing.
Okay.
Then
okay.
The team take over and they do the hard work.
Yes. So do you have any input while it's going on, or do you wait until, like today, the first time you'll see
Cats?
Oh,
no, no, no. I've come into rehearsals, and they're so professional, and they're wonderful, mm-hmm. and they will listen to me, and they probably say rubbish and get on with the job, you know.
Right.
But they're polite and always charming. And this mm-hmm. team we have on Cats is the best. And this is Cats number 3 for us, and personally I think it's the best. It really is the best.
So I've spoken to 2 people who've seen it just in this last week, and they raved about it. They said, prepare yourself, Rod, to be ready to be blown away. And I hope you are blown away, Peter, as well, so that you can relax.
And
enjoy the show. Of course, I'd love to ask you what's coming up next year, but I'm not going to do that. Let's keep it as a surprise, shall we? I'm sure you know what it's going to be.
I do, but we've got many steps to go through before we get there.
Do you have, just finally, I must let you go now, do you have regular contact with Andrew Lloyd Webber and Cameron McIntosh?
I have regular contact with Cameron, who's been a lifelong friend. I see Andrew Lloyd Webber at functions in London, and he's always absolutely charming, but he has an enormous organization, and they deal with the likes of me.
Okay, the likes of you. And he knows, does he, where every show of his has been performed?
I think he does.
He will know that Cats is in Cape Town this month.
Yes. If he doesn't know his lady wife, Lady Lloyd Webber, she knows.
Lady Lloyd Webber.
There's the power behind the throne.
I'm sure. It so often happens, doesn't it? So often happens.
But the man's a genius, Rodney. Yeah.
No, he is. The music is incredible, isn't it?
Oh, and he's now writing a stage version of the movie The Illusionist. So imagine, that's going to be the next big Lloyd Webber epic.
The Illusionist, really?
The movie?
Yes, the movie, yeah.
And apparently he's well on his way with writing. So that's something to really look forward
to. And there's clearly no sign of him slowing down.
Not at all. Not for an instant.
And I bet you there is a show, one of his shows is on around the world at any given time.
Not one. 10 of his shows will be on.
Oh, really?
Everybody loves Andrew Lloyd Webber's music.
Yeah.
And it never stops. And it will never stop.
Mm-hmm. And Peter, you love what you're doing, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You've done it for many, many years.
Yes.
And as I've said to you, you've given work to actors who've had to struggle through the apartheid era, through COVID, and all that sort of thing. And the theatre on the Bay, that delightful theatre, is very often packed to the brim.
Well, we're very lucky. There's a loyal audience, and people are so kind. And honestly, Rodney, I get quite choked up. I'm grateful to have been allowed to do whatever it is that I do.
Yes, and that you love it.
And I love it.
And that you've got a good team and a loyal team as well.
Yes. I'm a lucky guy.
Well, I'm going to let you go now so that relax a bit and get ready to enjoy the show.
And I hope you do.
I'm going to make sure I get out of here at least 4:05 and play some music so I can get to my seat in time.
Lovely.
Peter Tureen, thank you very much and congratulations.
FMR 101.3.